In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the 29th of the Coptic month. And whenever 29th of the Coptic month falls on Sunday, usually the reading is about the Annunciation. And in 29th of every Coptic month, usually we pray joyfully because this commemorates three feasts, the Annunciation, Nativity, and the Resurrection. That's why today you see the church, we are praying in a joyful tone, and the reading today is about the Annunciation that was carried by Archangel Gabriel to Saint Mary. Today we see Saint Mary when she heard the Annunciation from Gabriel. She answered at the end of the discussion and said to him, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." To reach this level of subjection and submission is not something that any person can acquire just by meditation or by the good intention. To think that you can subject yourself to God and accept whatever happened to you, trusting in Him, this thing actually needs a lot of spiritual practices and maturity. It's very easy to say, it's very easy for us to meditate on, and we think how wonderful is it that Saint Mary subjected herself totally. She denied her will completely and said to the angel, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." It is exactly when we see the martyrs, they are offering them their lives for the sake of the Lord Christ whom they loved. Something we think of as it's great, wonderful. We praise them for this, but we have to know what was behind it. Behind it was a life of subjection and subduing the flesh, something that we need to practice and we keep on every single day. One of the main practices that can allow us maybe one day to reach this level of spiritual maturity where we can submit totally to God is the practice of fasting. In 2 days we will start the fasting that is after the history of the story that we all know, when the disciples fasted in order for God to pity them and reveal to them what happened to the body of Saint Mary. At the end of these 15 days the Lord revealed to them Saint Mary again, and she appeared to him, and he told them about that he took her body to heaven. So in this fasting, there are certain ideas that they are false, they are myth, and they, at the end of the day, make us sometimes to hesitate to fast. We feel like these myth or these false ideas are good excuses for us to say that I cannot fast. At the end of the day, fasting is not that important. It's a tradition rather than something of importance to God. That's why you only see fasting is so much practiced in our church. You see that other people maybe sometimes speak well about fasting sometimes, but at the end of the day, there is no structure in fasting. We don't see it as a spiritual practice that is meant for the people to do it in order that they will come to this level of submission to the Lord. What are these common myths about fasting? The first one is, the most common one is, fasting is harmful to my health. I cannot fast simply because fasting will hurt my health. One way or another, I can give you 100 causes of how the people say or think of fasting as harmful. I cannot tolerate eating vegetables. I am a hard worker, and meanwhile, fasting doesn't provide me with enough energy. That children are not strong enough to fast, they need to eat meat. The essential amino acids are not there in the beans that we eat. Fasting makes my colon to be irritated, and I have an irritable bowel syndrome that cannot allow me to fast. And we keep on. It's a very, very long list. But actually, let us look at it. Is it fasting only related to what we eat? If this is the case, then I agree with you. Look at Daniel and think of his wonderful story. When he put in his heart not to eat from the delicacies of the king, What did he ask? Look at the story and we think about it. He said to the man in charge of giving them the food, he said to him, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then he is asking here for what? For fasting food, vegetables and water, only for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features, speaking here about Daniel and the three young men with him, appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. He appeared fatter and better in health and appearance. Why? There is grace behind it. God will never like forsake you. He is not going to leave you for yourself and to struggle with the fasting food. There is grace is going to be carried to you when you submit and you subject your flesh to the will of God. So the first myth, we see here the answer from Daniel. It never hurt him or the three young men. On the contrary, he appeared even fatter and better in appearance than those people who are eating the meat and whatever they wanted to eat. The second common myth is fasting should be done individually and in secret only. The people say this is a kind of worship. Why then we should make it common? We should hide this. It should be done secretly between me and God. At the end of the day, the people who say so, they actually never fast. This is usually the case. Look here, I will only refer to one of the references in the Bible that says that God asked the people to fast in a specific day, all of them together. In the book of Zechariah, in the Old Testament, we hear the Lord says, then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah, therefore love, truth, and peace. The Lord commanded Zechariah to deliver to the people a message that they should be fasting in these particular days, and these days should be what? Should be joy, should be feastful, should be cheerful. The days of fast actually are days for cheer. It's joyful days. We allow the Spirit to be released, to practice what it really longs to. So here, fasting is not something only to be done in secret or to be done on the individual level only. Yes, you still can do this. You still can add to yourself days of fasting on your own. But meanwhile, there is a practice that should be carried on by the whole congregation, the whole assembly of God. The third myth, God does not care about what we eat or drink. The people come and speak with this earthly wisdom, saying, do you think God will care about what we eat, what we drink? When we say this, what we are doing? When we say this, we are limiting fast into changing of food, which is, of course, God doesn't care about that. This is not the case. If fasting is only about food, then this might be true. Yes, God doesn't care about what we eat, what we drink. But if this is the case, why did the Lord fast? If fasting is irrelevant, if God doesn't care about what we eat, what we drink, why did the Lord fast? He gave us a lesson. I wonder about the people who say that the Lord is our master, and meanwhile, he practiced something for us to learn, and we deny ourselves this and says it is not important. What do you mean by this? Was the Lord in need to fast at all? Was he in need to submit his flesh or bring it into subjection, the Holy One? He did it for us, in order for us to learn, to have him as an example, in order that when we think what is the right way, we remember that he fasted and we have to do it as well. Look here, also to Daniel. We read this verse, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. He considered eating this kind of food will defile him. Will defile him. Why? Because he believed that I should not be eating this. It is not the food, it is the will to submit. It is not about what we change in our day-to-day eat food, but it is the will of subjection. I will submit my flesh. I will bring it into subjection, as St. Paul said to the Corinthians. Therefore, the fourth myth, fasting is not important in the New Testament. When we say the people fasted, the people of Nineveh fasted. The people in the Old Testament fasted. Moses fasted. Then they come and say, we are in the time and age of grace. It's the New Testament, my brother. Why do we need to fast at all? Here again, heed the scripture in the book of Acts. How did the apostles live? Did they fast at all? Or this is something invented by the Coptic Orthodox Church? Look here, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Ministered here actually says they were praying in liturgy. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit started to guide them. Why? They humbled themselves in fasting and in prayers. Another verse, so when they had appointed elders in every church, this speaking about Paul and Barnabas, and prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord in whom they had believed. St. Paul, St. Barnabas, they fasted in order to give also this lesson to the people that they were shepherd, that they were taking care of. The last myth that we are going to speak about today is fasting atones for my sins. I assume that when I fast, because of my fasting, then God forgive me my sins. This is not true. God forgive us our sins when we repent to them, we confess them, we partake of His body and His blood. Fasting is done for as an act of humility, of humbleness. I do this in order that the Lord will look upon me, as the people of Nineveh did. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. They did this in order to show that their repentance is sincere. They did this to humble themselves, to submit to God, to show Him that we are serious in seeking His mercy and asking for His forgiveness. Fasting does not forgive us our sins. Why? Because I assume sometimes that I can fast and do whatever sins. I can fast to change the food from whatever I'm eating to vegetables, and then I do whatever I used to do because God will forgive me. I'm fasting. This is not the case. Again, heed St. Paul says, this golden verse that should be our model during the coming time of fasting. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached it to others, I myself should become disqualified. St. Paul, the apostle, whom the Lord appeared to, who preached it to almost two-thirds of the earth at that time, he still says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest I might be disqualified. Look at St. Paul and compare it to yourself. Think of yourself. Are you better than St. Paul? You don't need the fast anymore. St. Paul, yes, he can fast. He is an apostle. This is his business. No, of course not. He was doing this for the reason of disciplining his body. How ought for all of us to have him as a model in order also to practice this fasting in order to bring our bodies into subjection. St. Mary, in order to reach this point, that she can say to the angel, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word, lived a life of subjection, in prayers, in fasting, spending the night in the temple. All the time, these kind of practices made her mature enough that she will come to the point where she can say, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.